Pastor Arlie and Sharon, you don't miss much, but you didn't get the memo that you should have read. You see, the average pastor in America serves a church for 5 to 7 years. You didn't read that memo. And it is my privilege to honor you on behalf of the congregation this morning, to honor you and Sharon for 40 years of ministry as senior pastor of Christ Wesleyan Church. None of this was here when you began the ministry that you have. It also says that every 10 years, a person who serves over 20, so that would be 4 recreations of Arlie Davis. I don't know.
I'm working on the next one.
But you know how many pastors in our culture have decided to recreate themselves to be effective, or at least to have a growing church. They have figured out each 10 years how to more successfully accommodate the culture in which they are. I have walked with you through all of these 40 years, and you have recreated yourself not by figuring out how to accommodate what was around you, but seeking more of God in you that could flow through you into this congregation. It has been a remarkable, remarkable expression of God.
Thank you.
And I know that you could not have done what you have done if Sharon were not your wife. She has been a remarkable first lady, and Amen. We thank God for you. Amen. And so on behalf of the congregation, wow. This is a special presentation that I am sharing on behalf of them, saying thank you for and acknowledging 40 years of ministry as a pastor and 30 years of ministry as senior pastor of Christ Wesleyan Church.
Amen.
Would you like to express appreciation?
And to all the people there.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've just been asked to pray. Shall we do that? Gracious Heavenly Father, everything that we do, we want it to be to the glory of God. Whatever gifts you have given to us, whatever privileges you have given to us, whatever service we have undertaken, it has all been for the purpose of fulfilling the will of God, so that we might reflect the glory of God. We give all praise and all glory, not to those that we acknowledge, but to the God who has transformed our lives and given us the privilege of representing Him. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Amen.
We've been working through a vintage series, and this is the final one that I'll do through this. Next week, I have a letter that I've written to you, or I'm writing to you, finishing, that I'll share with you that'll really bring closure to it. We have a particular booklet we put together. A number of you had requested that you could have a copy of all of the outlines for this whole series, this heavenly series. I think it was 10 different weeks that we actually did it, talking about heaven. And so I think this is put together. Loretta did this for you to make sure that you could be able to have that. And so if you would like that, you can pick it up at the hub. Or if we run out today, I think we had 100 that had requested. But if we run out today, we made more. We can do that, so you can stop by and pick those up. We're working through the whole idea. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us to hear your voice, not mine. For all of this, we give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. As we're looking through this, I'm going to run through the first few aspects or first few letters pretty quickly, very fast, because I talked about it last week, and I don't want to, I want to make sure there's some additional I added to it, and I want to make sure I can get through that. So if you're wondering, wow, I can't take notes on this fast. This is just the way it's going to be for our first part. We're all terminal, the good news I started with last week. The fact is, from the time you were born, you were dying. Boy, isn't that great? Great to hear. You feel better, right? You're going to go home and be, wow, what a great message. The fact is that it's not bad news. We've got to realize that God has designed so much. What you have here on earth is like just a tiny bit compared to eternity, where you're going to spend forever. And that's the good news that is a part. So we're given one life, and God wants to be able to work through that. Death is the end of life in our physical body, but it's the separation of body. It's temporary. This shell that I'm in is temporary, because I'm going to have a new body that's really buff and a whole lot better than this one. And that's going to be, I mean, you know, he says it's going to be perfect. I mean, so I'm sure I'm going to have a perfect body, whatever that looks like, better than anything I've ever had before, even in my wrestling days. The fact is that we're going to get a new one. So this was temporary. And he does tell us about the fact that we're going to, but our soul is eternal. So as we look at those kinds of things, we see our soul and our spirit are the eternal parts of who we are. Death is not an end, it's just a transition. So we're going from this world to the next, and it's this death that we experience. You don't have to be afraid, because it's just going to move us from this to the next. And it says angels are going to be with us. They're going to guide you. And so they're going to take you from this world to the next. So it's all good news. In fact, you'll see in the outlines, if you get a copy of those, I talked about angels first, because there's so much a part of what happens for the rest. And they are such a critical piece. So I wanted to make sure you had a full understanding. So I think I did a week or two on angels, as we were kind of starting this whole series, just to kind of give you a basis. And let me just clear up this. I know you're going to find this really disheartening probably for some of you, but I'll just tell you anyway. Besides, what are you going to do, fire me? Because I'm done. So you're not going to become an angel. You're not going to become an angel when you die. And none of your loved ones are angels. That's just the way it is. And you go, I'm sorry. It's it. And you're not getting wings either. So I know that's disappointing too. You thought you had going to get wings. You're not. I remember Mary Buck, I think she's here someplace. She was my administrative assistant for, I don't know, 8 years. And Mary, when I told Mary that, she was so disheartened. The next day she came to work with wings on. because she said, if I can't have them then, I'll have them now. The fact is, no, you're not going to, but you do get a new body. And if you'll know, Jesus moved like through walls, like, so there was no kind of, and you're going to get that kind of a body. So that's cool. So you don't need wings. You'll just be fine. And God created angels in the beginning, and he's out of the angel business. And so that's not happening anymore. Just kind of get that. So as we would see, we're looking at when we die, we go to a literal place. If you look at scripture, we talked about this, it's very clear that there is a literal place that is a part of that. We see the Old Testament really kind of gave us a picture into that. The New Testament, Stephen Stone looked up into heaven. He obviously is looking into this intermediate heaven as we're talking about, because there's a final heaven that's going to be created. And so there's a new heaven and a new earth. And so that's why this earth, the best of my understanding, according to scripture, has 1,007 more years to be able to go on this earth. And so as you kind of look at that, there's a millennium, 1,000 years of peace that'll be on the earth. There's a tribulation, 7 years of destruction that'll be a part of the earth. So, and then at that point, at the close of all of that, that's when there's a new heaven and a new earth that will be created. So we'll look at that as well. This intermediate heaven was viewed by John and the book of Revelation, one Revelation, not Revelations. And scripture seems to indicate a number of things about this intermediate heaven. We talked about this quite a bit last week about the crowd in Hebrews. It talks about Hebrews 12, because Hebrews 11 talks about the hall of faith, all of those people who have gone on in faith. And then Hebrews 12 starts with therefore. And whenever that's there, we always say, what's the right, what's the therefore, therefore? And so when we see that, we go, aha, it means you need to look before that. And when you look before that, it says all of these people in Hebrews 11, then it says, since we're so surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and that's what it talks about then in Hebrews 12. So we'll go on as we look at each of those. There we are. Revelation 6 gives further thought as to our intermediate heaven. Randy Alcorn actually calls it the intermediate heaven. And if you've never read his book on heaven, that's a great resource that you could be able to track down if you want to know lots and lots of details. He even has a small booklet on heaven that I actually ordered quite a few. My credit card gave them to me for free, my church card. So I just said, hey, I'll just use all these. Gave all those miles so you can get them free next week. I have, I don't know how many, not a lot, but enough. So you could be able to pick one of those up till they run out. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. So here's what we can talk about in regard to this. Now, when you look at Revelation, the book itself, right around the first chapter is a picture of God. I did a study on Revelation one time, went like 23 weeks, I think it was. Tried to give everybody a picture of each chapter, what they look like. Well, chapter one is a picture of Jesus. So if you're looking at that, you can be able to see that that's what it is. Chapter two and three are letters to the churches. There are seven letters that are talked about. And then chapter four begins the picture of looking up to heaven. And so if somebody were going to say, they would say that's where the rapture happens, and it starts at chapter four. From then on, you see a picture into heaven of each of that. And then as we would look, then the Revelation tells us about the bowls and the judgments that are going to come out, three different sets of judgments that will come out on the earth. And then when you get to about chapter 19 and 20, you're starting to see what the new heaven is going to be like, the judgment, the new heaven. 21, 22 gives us that full picture of heaven. So that's kind of what the whole book is all about. So those in heaven have an audience with God as they ask questions. So when you look at this, they're saying, how long? You know, so the fact is, they're asking God questions about this. So it kind of gives us a little bit more picture in regard. Those in heaven seem to have a deep concern for justice and retribution. So they're saying, you know, as we look, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. Now, I'm not really sure that I can tell you what I understand about what people are looking at from in heaven, those already who have gone on, looking into earth. It seems like there's a picture that they can see of some things, but really we don't have an understanding of how much. It would be my understanding there would be some kind of a filter that they would be looking through that would help them to be able to see without experiencing all of the pain of what's going on. So there's some kind of filter that would be a part of that process. And yet, when we talk about we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, somehow they can see into this. If they're witnesses, what are they witnessing? Well, they're witnessing us as we're moving through this journey. They certainly can't see everything, or it would be very disheartening and sad, and you're not going to be sad in heaven. And so as we're trying to understand, there's a part, but we do see that there's somewhat of a picture that they're understanding this. So those in heaven seem to be learning as God answers their questions. So I guess we don't have all instant awareness and knowledge of everything right in the very beginning, because they're saying they were told to wait a little longer. So there's a question and there's an answer that's being given to them as they are waiting there. Those in heaven seem to have a sense of time. We kind of have always thought about it as timeless, and you don't, but what do we see? They're saying how long? So there's some kind of sense of time that's a part of that. I know it's eternity and they'll be there forever, but there's some kind of sense, at least during this period, that they're kind of aware of that. Now, since we have not received the complete judgment, we'll be in an intermediate stage. And so just so you know, that is a temporary. Now, you can't be moved out of that stage. So you can't like be prayed out as some might think or might believe, because after death, we saw earlier in the scripture, then there's judgment. So there's no other chance like to say, can I pray my dead loved ones out of? No, you can't, because there's no place in scripture that would say, this is an intermediate stage. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so this is really referred to as paradise, this intermediate stage. And so that's what Jesus told him, and that's exactly what happens. Now, when you see the rich man and Lazarus, if you read over that story in Luke 16, you will see a very clear picture that is given of what that intermediate point was. It said there was a separation between the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus could look down and he could be able to see. The rich man was looking up. And so as we see that picture that was there, the rich man was asking if he could get out and go back to his brothers and warn them. He didn't want them to join him in this place. It was a literal place that he talked about. So in this place, we'll have an ability to experience the physical body. Because what did he say? He in hell, there was torment. He looked up, saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. And so there was that sense of experiencing something in the physical body, even though that was different. Now in this place, we'll also have the ability to remember and to see. So in this particular place, there's an intermediate heaven. There's also an intermediate hell that is a part. So as we're trying to understand, because the full judgment hasn't happened yet, that will happen later on. As we see, there's a great white throne judgment that's coming. That's not yet. And so this is an intermediate stage as well, heaven and hell. Abraham replied, son, remember, and he looked up. And so we see that there was an ability to be able to see between. In this place, we'll have some identity. We know this. We will have, when we die, Jesus came back in a resurrected body, a glorified body. It was perfect. That's exactly what we will have. God will have that. He also has, he tells us in Revelation, that you'll have a new name. And maybe you like your name that you have now, but I never really liked mine too much. It was just, I was given it by my mom because she really loved my uncle. And so his name was Arlie, so I became Little Arlie. It was something about the South. They always named everybody after somebody. So you will have a new name. It's written on a white stone. And it'll be known only to you. So you're not just a number in heaven, just so you know. You are, everyone is significant. So we see this. There's an identity because he calls them by name. This place will be a place of no return. So we talked about the importance of understanding that. So those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. And I would just throw this out, like when people talk about crossing over and they talk about somebody coming back, don't get involved in that. That's something we should stay away from as believers, because that's not biblical, and it would put us into a very dangerous place. And so, like, very important not to get involved in those kinds of things. There will be a time of judgment that will come and is spoken of in Revelation 20. So as you look at this, like, chronologically, between the book of Revelation from chapter 4 all the way up to the end, we would see chapter 20 all the way up is going to be talking about judgment. There's a judgment seal of Christ. So there's two judgments that we will talk about. The judgment seat of Christ is there. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So there's like two judgments, the separation, of course, of the goats and the sheep. No offense to those who love goats. It's just that's the way it is. And so there's going to be that separation between the two. And there's a judgment between good and bad that are a part of that. And so that's coming. So there's a whole bunch of rewards. I won't have time. We do talk about them in the outlines. A whole bunch of rewards that are talked about also. And we don't serve Jesus for rewards, but they're definitely talked about in Scripture. You serve Jesus because of your love for him and what he's done for you. But there is, it's important enough. He talks about crowns. He talks about those who will receive a crown of life, and goes on and on throughout Scripture. Now, I wish all of that information that we talk about heaven and all the future were all in one book, but it's woven all through Scripture. So, like, you have to capture pieces of it all through Scripture. Just like we understand the return of Christ, there's really has to be two aspects of it, because he says he's going to come like a thief in the night, and he also says every eye will see him. Well, every eye can't see a thief in the night, so there must be two different aspects of his return that are going to happen. And so we know that there were two, I feel, and when we look at his first coming on earth, there were two aspects of that. One, every eye could see him because he came as a child, as an infant, and then served and was crucified. Everybody saw him. He died. And then he came back to only believers. And so we see that when he came back, so there was two parts of his first coming, and over 500 people saw him. Remember, we talk about that, and we talk about the resurrection. So over 500, but they were all believers. And so there was two aspects, every eye and then an all believers. Same with second coming. There's all believers and every eye. So that two parallel that happens there for that. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power. Remember, we said born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. So if you're born again, born first, then born again, then you will not experience the second death. If you're not born again, then you do experience the second death. And that's what it talks about. It holds no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, will reign with him for 1,000 years. There's the great white throne judgment. So there's two judgments that are talked about. The great white throne judgment is for unbelievers. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it, earth and sky, fled from the presence, and there was no place for them. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. When you're born again, your name is written in the book of life. And so that's where the record is. So when he opens it up, there is the, your name is already there. If you've received Jesus as your Savior and you're born again, your name is already there in the book of life. And so, yeah, that's great news. Good news, right? That's the place I want my name. I definitely want my name. You can put Arlie there. I'm fine with that. Another book was opened, which is, God bless you, is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. So there's more than one book. There's a book of life, that's where your name is, and there's also a book of deeds, and that is what's done in this life. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So pretty like incredible. And that's why my heart has always been, how can we reach as many people for Jesus, and how can we take as many as possible to heaven with us? And so that's the message that we want to do. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. So this world will be destroyed by fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But it won't be destroyed before God allows it. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't care for our environment. We should, because we want to take care of what God has given to us. But we do know this, and there's all this messaging that's going out that we only have 12 more years for this world. God is the one who's in control of how many years we have in this world. And we know that when it's to be destroyed, he will be the one who will destroy it. No one else is going to. And so that's an important part. Our hope of heaven is a longing we all naturally share. It's something inside of us that feels like there's more to this world. And part of me longs for the next. And I think there'll be a time when there's no more war. There'll be a time when there's peace. There'll be a time when there's no more sickness and no more pain, no more abuse. There's going to be a time when all of that comes. And there's something inside of us that just longs to see that. I love this passage in Romans because it says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. The creation. Now, we're part of creation, so there's something in us that longs for that. Then it says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation, then I think, wow, there's something in all that's there. Now, we know that whatever God created here, and we're seeing in the beauty of this world, there's going to be some of this here, there. And so when we look at, you know, people say, are animals in heaven? Yep, they will be. God thought it was great to have them here. He'll have them for us there. So yeah, whatever, are there trees and there's a world and whatever is a part of this world? Will there? Yeah, yeah. Will we eat Yes, but you won't gain weight. I just can't wait. There's so much that'll be part of this new world that there's something inside of us that has this longing to see. He says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as son, the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8. It's a great passage to think about. You see, all of creation has been equipped with a longing for the return of Christ. All through history, there's been this longing for the return of Christ. Ever since Jesus left the earth the first time, all of the church, that was their message. Somehow we as a church have got too comfortable in our culture. This house that we're in now is so great that we've lost a longing for what's coming. We as believers need to have a longing for what's coming, because what's coming is far better than anything you've ever experienced here. And he creates that inside of us. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Our ability to understand all of this at present time is limited. Scripture says, no, now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know, like, in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. That's what's ahead. He says, as our hearts draw near to God, we develop this a greater longing for him. You see, the more we are comfortable in this body and looking for Jesus and having him work in our lives, the more the longing gets greater. And we just say, there's gonna come a time when God has so much for us. And I just long for what he's gonna be able to bring. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hebrews 11, all of those heroes of faith long for the return, long to experience all that God had. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Yeah. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. You see, it's natural for us to long for his appearing and to long for what he has for us. The first two chapters of Genesis deal with the creation of heaven and earth. The last two chapters of Revelation deal with the recreation of heaven and earth. Isn't that, like, that's the orderliness of God. When he starts this book, which has, you know, 66 different books, when he starts this collection of books, he begins with creation, he ends with recreation. And what he has for us goes beyond our imagination. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then at the end, he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And so, yes, yes, God has great things that are prepared for us. And he gives us this time on this earth to make the choice to say, I want to be a part of that. I want to make sure that I am ready to experience all that God has. I don't want to miss it. And you don't have to, because that's why he gave us this time to experience his peace, his sacrifice, his new life for us. Let me pray with you in closing. Father, you've done so much to prepare for us. There's somehow a longing that's inside of us that we look forward to what you have before us. There are those that are here today that are saying, wow, I hope I'm going. I hope I'm going. Well, scripture tells us that we can know that we have eternal life in 1 John. He tells us that you don't have to assume or think or hope, you can know confidently. So for those that are here today that want to know confidently and are not sure, let them know by a simple act of faith that they can say, I want to invite you into my heart, Jesus. I want to live for you. I want to turn from my sin. If that's the desire of your heart, would you pray this prayer along with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for me. I want to turn from my sin. I want to invite you into my heart. I want to give you control of my life. Help me every day to live for you and to long for your coming. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer along with me and you said, you know, I want to know confidently that that's my life, and so I prayed, would you just put your hand up and hold it for a moment and then put it down? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, thank you so much for loving us that much and preparing a new life for us that goes beyond anything we can imagine. You tell us in scripture, eye has not seen, mind has not conceived what God has prepared in store for us. So it's bigger than my imagination. It's bigger than anything I could think. And for all of this, we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. There are quite a number who prayed along with us today and wanted to know that confidence. Would you just praise God for that? Make sure if you are new in your faith, we'd have a Bible for you. We'd love to give you if you don't have one. If you're new in your faith, make sure you're praying every day. That's just talking to God. Make sure you're reading your Bible every day because that's God talking to you. Make sure you tell somebody else. We're not in a secret service. We're in an army that God wants us to be able to join together and share with others. So make sure you would do that. If this is not your church, and find a church where Christ has preached and you can grow in your faith. Otherwise, if you're here, we have good news for you. There's an I Choose Jesus card in the back of the seats. We'd love if you'd fill that out. That helps us to know. Also, we would say to you, if you want to text I Choose Jesus 88202, we'd love to be able to know that because that helps us to help you grow in your faith. We're not going to barrage you with a whole bunch of stuff. We just want you to grow in your faith. God has good news. Amen. He's prepared great things for us. Don't miss it. You won't want to miss it. Amen.
Good morning, Church Online. I'm Tabitha, your Connections Director at Christ Wesleyan.
I'm Pastor Mandy. It's so awesome to be with you.
Oh, it's great. I love it. And I think we're twinning today.
We are. Tonight, we actually have an awesome opportunity. It is fun. Pastor Arlie's retirement celebration, and you all are invited. It starts at 4 p.m. There are going to be special guests. There's going to be some tears, but there's definitely going to be some laughter. So you don't want to miss that. You can even join online. It's streamed online tonight as well.
Yeah, and know what else is exciting? Christ Wesleyan Theater Productions is having Emma in June.
Yeah, it's back.
It's back, and you will not want to miss it. So please get tickets through our church office or Well Read. Another great event coming up that is free to anybody that is new to CWC or has never attended a Connections breakfast. You get an awesome, delicious breakfast.
It is delicious.
And you get to meet some of our pastoral leadership staff. And so if you've never been to a Connections breakfast, please take the time to email me at tabitha.gessner@cwclife or just simply call the church office and we'll get you connected. But you will not want to miss that. That is happening on Sunday, June 13th at 9 a.m. right here at the Milton campus.
Yeah, and I love attending those because we can hear the vision of the church and you can that's where you start getting involved. In the church, and you get to meet Tab, and she kind of gets you ready to go with groups and all kinds of stuff. So it's a really exciting time. Make sure you sign up. Also, guess what's back?
Oh, I heard what the theme is. I can't wait.
Kids Camp is back, and we are so excited on the Melton campus, June 15th through the 18th. It's 9 a.m. to 12. And we included, a couple years ago, we started taking our preschoolers in. So we have a preschool camp and we have an elementary camp. Woo. You're going to want to sign up online. We pre-register everybody now. Super easy. If you go to cwc.life/kidsway, it'll take you right to everything you need, give you the information. But you're right, it's 80s theme.
Woo! So rock get, on.
That's right. Get the crimpers and the neon and all your whitewashed jeans ready. We're taking the kids back to the early church.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, so it'll be really, really fun. You don't want to miss that.
And tomorrow, we will be having our last dive deep session with Pastor Arlie. But it's going to be so great. Yeah. So please make sure you join us tomorrow to listen to Dive Deep.
Yeah, and there's a special guest.
Special guest. I'm not saying who it is, yeah, but special guest.
You're going to want to hear that. Yeah, that's good. Guys, there's so much happening on this campus, and God is working in so many ways. You don't want to miss it. And if you want any other information, there's a ton of information on our website, cwc.life. Check it out. It'll cover everything. Even if you didn't hear us chatting that whole time,
yes,
you missed anything, it's all on our website. We love you guys. We are so grateful for our online community and getting connected in that way. We'll see you next week.
Bye.